It must have been about mid-2003. I was working at a children's home in the Spokane Valley as the activities director. I loved my job. I loved the people I worked with. I was convinced this was the place I was going to give 20 plus years of my life to. And I'd already worked there for over 3 years, so I knew it was a really good fit for me. And then that 1 week happened. Yes, that 1 week. It started with a weekly lunch date with Abby at Burger King. See, Abby and I went there once a week to eat their 2 for $5 special. 2 Whoppers, 2 drinks, 2 fries, only $5. Anyways, we were eating, and out of the blue, Abby said something to me. "James, I think there's something more out there for you than where you're at. I know you love your job and all, but I'm getting the sense that this isn't it for you." Now, I brushed off her comment as maybe stemming from bad onions on the burger or something like that. 2 nights later, I was randomly talking to the girl's case manager, and out of the blue, she said to me, "James, have you ever thought about being a pastor? My brother is a pastor, and I think you'd make a good one. I mean, you talk about random, right? The children's home didn't need a pastor, so why would she bring that up?" I believe it was the next day. I was scheduled to sit down with the executive director. At the time, Abby was pregnant, with Sam, so I was planning on asking for a raise. The company loved me. The board loved me. I was regularly told how well things were going there as it pertained to my particular job. I was fully expecting a positive response from the executive director when I asked for the raise. Well, right after I asked, again, fully expecting a, "Hey, that's a great idea. Let's make that happen." Right after I asked for the raise, the executive director said to me, "Well, James, listen, I don't see you here long term. I see you doing ministry somewhere, somehow." Now, hear me, First Church. The boss man knew I was a Christian. I knew he was one as well, but we had never talked about anything faith beyond that. We had never talked about faith-related vocations. Now, initially, his response felt like I was getting fired. "I don't see you here long term." I mean, didn't he hear me tell him that I was looking forward to the next 20 years there? Over the next few hours and days, I realized that God must be trying to tell me something. And about a year later, by June of 2004, I was moving my family to Chicago for a ministry position. 16 years later, with 14 of them spent here at First Church, I am pastoring a people, like the girl's case manager said, and like the executive director alluded to, and like Abby was saying without knowing she was saying it. God chose to speak through other people, clear as day, to me. Sure, it took 3 people for me to finally listen, instead of listening to the first person who spoke truth into my life in between her bites of Whopper and French fries, but I did ultimately end up listening. Is speaking through other people one of the ways God still chooses to communicate with us? And if yes, which I would say yes, then how good are we at listening for God's voice when others are speaking to us? It's something to at least chew on as we continue our sermon series titled, "Can You Hear Me Now? Learning to Listen to God's Voice." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is a day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And we look forward to what you're trying to tell us as we dig, as we digest, as we wrestle with what your text says to us. Help me and others listen to the voices you are using to try and talk to us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in week 5 of a sermon series, where we are talking through and practicing different skills and disciplines that may help us learn to listen to God's voice better. So far, we've seen that God did speak in the pages of Scripture, and He still wants to speak to us today. We've talked about how practicing stillness, practicing silence, and practicing listening for God's voice through time reading Scripture can help prime the pump for how well we hear God's voice. This morning, we look at another practice, the art of listening to other people. Specifically, the art of listening for God's voice through other people. Now, common sense and scriptural examples make it evident that we can learn a lot from other people. Whether we think we do or not, we actually do need advice and counsel from others to live our best lives. We need this because oftentimes God is trying to get a hold of our ears and our hearts And an audible voice is what we need most in those moments. In the scriptures, you see all sorts of people not going at life alone. Moses had Aaron. Esther had Mordecai. Elijah had Elisha. David had Benaiah. Timothy had Paul. And the list could go on. But each of these people allowed the other person to speak truth into their lives. Each of these people would listen to the advice and counsel given by the other person. And at times, each of these people even did a pivot in the direction they were going, depending on what the other person shared with them. King Solomon, one of King David's many sons, is said to be the wisest man to have ever lived. Listen to his thoughts on getting advice and counsel from others. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. Where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in abundance of counselors, there is safety. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. Again, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20. Get all the advice and instruction you can so that you will be wise the rest of your life. Now, Solomon wrote many more Proverbs about seeking sage wisdom and counsel from others. So if the wisest man to ever live knew the benefit of listening to others, and I'm sure he would have said their counsel was often God's counsel, if Solomon felt like having others speak into his life was necessary, how much more should we? I've thought about this practice of listening to God through other people's voices this past week. And I realized that hearing God's voice through other people can either be sought out by you, which I would call solicited counsel, or it can come without you seeking it out, unsolicited counsel. Let's start by looking at solicited. There are definitely times, Solomon was not so subtly alluding to, when we need to seek out the counsel of other people in order to hear God's direction for us. We need to almost blatantly pray, God, I'm having trouble hearing from you. Would you put someone in my life today who says what you want me to hear so that I can literally hear them and thus literally hear you? I've been spending time recently reading the life of King David in 1 and 2 Samuel. In one of those stories, David had been on the run for quite some time from King Saul, who was trying to kill him. One night, David and a man named Abishi snuck into Saul's camp. Abishi was one of David's top military leaders. So these two men made it to where Saul was snoring away, and they stood over King Saul while the king and all his bodyguards slept soundly. Now listen to the exchange between the two men awake at that moment in the camp, King David and Abishi, although David wasn't king yet. 1 Samuel 26, verse 8. Then Abishi said to David, God has given your enemy into your hand this day, so please let me pin him to the earth with one stroke of the spear, and I will not strike him twice. I see this moment as Abishi seeking counsel from David. I also see it as a military leader ready to end the process of being chased, ready to win the war, but also knowing his thirst for blood might be clouding his judgment. Now, one would think that David, who had already let Saul live another time, two chapters earlier, in a cave while King Saul was answering the call of nature, one would think that David would want to end his running as well. But listen to David's response. 1 Samuel 26, verse 9 to 11. No, David said, don't kill him, for who can remain innocent after attacking the Lord's anointed one? Surely the Lord will strike Saul down someday, or he will die of old age or in battle. The Lord should forbid that I kill the one he has anointed. But take his spear and that jug of water beside his head, and then let's get out of here. Abishi and David left the soundly sleeping Saul. And we could say that Abishi listened to the sage counsel that David gave him in that moment. In the future, Saul would later die in battle. So the Lord did end up doing what David said he would do. Solicited counsel by Abishi, that was followed. Another time, another story, one of King David's grandsons was now in a place of authority. Rehoboam was his name. The people of Israel, the leadership of Israel, summoned Rehoboam and asked him to lighten the harsh demands and taxes that his dad had put on their shoulders. And if Rehoboam had learned anything from his father, the wise King Solomon, he learned the necessity of seeking advice from others. So here's the story. 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 5 to 14. Rehoboam replied, give me 3 days to think this over, and then come back for my answer. So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam discussed the matter with the older men who had counseled his father Solomon. "What is your advice?" he asked. "How should I answer these people?" The older counselors replied, "If you are willing to be a servant to the people today and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your loyal subjects." Verse 8, "But Rehoboam rejected the advice of the older men and instead asked the opinion of the young men who he had grown up with and were now his advisors. 'What is your advice?' he asked them. 'How should I answer these people who want me to lighten their burdens imposed by my father?'" Verse 10, "The young men replied, 'This is what you should tell those complainers who want a lighter burden. My little finger is thicker than my father's waist. Yes, my father laid heavy burdens on you, but I'm going to make them even heavier. My father beat you with whips, but I will beat you with scorpions.'" Verse 12, 3 days later, Jeroboam and all the people returned to hear Rehoboam's decision, just as the king had ordered. But Rehoboam spoke harshly to the people, for he rejected the advice of the older counselors, and he followed the counsel of his younger advisors. Solicited counsel, this time not followed, at least not the counsel that the Lord seemed to be speaking through. And the 10 northern tribes revolted, and the story of the divided kingdom begins. Now, I share these two biblical stories as examples of people purposely seeking God's direction through the voices of other people. It must be well over a decade ago now, through the suggestion of a speaker during one of our annual conferences, that I set up my own personal council, is what I call it. I asked four men, guys who knew me and my family, loved God and wanted to see his church succeed. I asked these four guys to be on my council. One is a CFO of a bank. One is a high-caliber headhunter for high-position companies. One is another lead pastor, and the fourth was a youth pastor at the time. All four men that deeply and dearly I trusted. Still, all four men that I count among my closest friends. I gave these four men permission. I asked them to speak truth into my life. I asked them to be prayerful about it, but to do so without any fear of reprieve from me. Now, over the years, I've sought their suggestions, their advice from these guys on everything from personal matters to matters of the church. You know, guys, should I lead in a certain direction? Should I pursue a specific job opportunity? How will such and such a decision affect such and such an outcome, right? There's been times where I've agreed with their counsel wholeheartedly. And there's been other times where I have not wanted to hear what they said, but I chose to listen to them anyways. More than once, many times actually, I have heard God speak through them. And I am so grateful to have this group. This is solicited counsel, me seeking to hear God's voice from them, from other people. Now, there are other times when God chooses to speak through people we did not plan on asking. And I would call this unsolicited counsel. Scripture has several examples of this as well. Remember the good King David that I've been spending time with recently? I haven't gotten to this part in his story yet, but many of you will know it. There was a time when sin got the better of him. He committed adultery with another man's wife, getting her pregnant. He then tried to trick the husband who was away at war into coming home and sleeping with his wife so the baby could be said to be his. And when that didn't work out, David had the man killed accidentally in battle. Did David know this was wrong? I'm sure he did. But it took God speaking to him through someone else. Someone else that David did not specifically solicit counsel from, for David's sin to really sink deep into his heart. God sent the prophet Nathan to tell David a story. Now, you can read the whole story in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12. Now, through the story that Nathan told David, David realized his sin and he confessed it. 2 Samuel 12, verse 13. Out of this unsolicited word from the Lord, we get the beautiful Psalm 51 written by King David. "Have mercy on me," David writes, "O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sin. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin, for I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight." Unsolicited counsel. God's voice spoken to David from another man without being asked. It led to life change. Now, fast forward in the story of Scripture to the New Testament. We see another pair of people, one who was speaking truth, God's truth, into the other person's life. This was Paul, the apostle, and Timothy. Paul was Timothy's mentor. He was teaching him what it meant to be a follower of Jesus and teaching him what it meant to lead a church. Paul saw a condition that needed to be addressed in Timothy's life. And though Timothy may not have woke up that morning and thought to himself, Paul, tell me what I need to fix. Tell me what the Lord would have me change in my life. Timothy may not have started the conversation like that, but Paul spoke a word from God that young Timothy needed to hear. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Paul says, "This is why I remind you, Timothy, to fan into flames the spiritual gift that God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." Timidity, that's a harsh word. In the Greek, the word literally means cowardice. Paul knew that if Timothy was to lead a people in their pursuit of God, he would need the courage to do so. Now, according to the apocryphal Acts of Timothy, to church tradition, Timothy died at age 80 while trying to stop a pagan parade in honor of the goddess Diana, all while trying to preach the gospel. There is nothing timid about that, is there? How did Timothy grow such a backbone? Where did it start? Unsolicited advice, counsel, the voice of the Lord coming from someone else, and that voice being listened to. My story to start the sermon was an example of unsolicited counsel. Neither Abby nor the girl's case manager nor the executive director was specifically asked by me to speak a word of the Lord to me, but all three did exactly that. While working for that company in Chicago that I left the children's home for, a ministry that had hired me with the hope that I'd become executive level leadership in the company, I apparently needed more unsolicited advice and counsel. I needed another word from the Lord through someone else. In one of my evaluations, my direct supervisor quoted Romans 12, verse 3 to me, saying that, without saying it, that I was pretty full of myself, and I was portraying that attitude around the office. Romans 12, 3 says, "Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest about your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given you." Ouch, right? I needed to hear from the voice of God through someone sitting directly across a desk from me. Someone that had shaped part of who I was. And, you know, this definitely shaped who I see as I look in the mirror in the morning. Unsolicited counsel. It can be the voice of God through the voice of someone standing or sitting directly in front of you. Now, I could continue to show you many examples from these pages. You know, the pages of Scripture of times when other people God used to speak into the lives of his children. But I think you get the point. So the question becomes, so what? Right? So what? This is what I always want to ask at the end of a sermon. So what do we today do with this? I mean, if God asks us, "Can you hear me now? I just spoke to you through such and such a person," I want us to be able to answer a resounding yes. So how do we do this? What does it look like? Well, author and pastor Mark Batterson, he wrote a book titled Whisper, How to Hear the Voice of God. In one of our small groups studied this book maybe a couple of years back and was deeply impacted by it. So they passed the book on to me, and it's actually helped shape this sermon series. Anyways, Batterson is writing about Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, that speaks to us about all of us being surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And he writes this: "We all have a cloud of witnesses, and that cloud consists of anybody and everybody who influenced our lives. It's our family and friends, coaches and teachers, and I'd like to think pastors and authors. To believe that any of those people are in our lives by happenstance is to grossly underestimate the sovereignty of God. He wants to use them to speak into our lives, and he wants to use us to speak into theirs." Now, a couple of things that we can take away from this quote. The first is this: Batterson is making the point that most often, not always, but most often, God chooses to speak through people we are already in deep relationship with, already in trusting relationships with. While writing to the church in the city of Ephesus, the Apostle Paul talks about speaking the truth in love. When we're in deep relationship with people, we'll know that what they say is said out of a place of love. Yet, even the ability to speak like this has to come with time, investment, and life experiences with that person. It comes out of a foundation of love, love for God and love for you. Batterson writes, speaking the truth in love is an earned right, and it's a byproduct of relationship. The stronger the relationship, the more weight those words carry. So if you need a place to start, a place to start listening for God's voice through other people, you need to be pursuing intentional, purposeful, deep, Christ-centered relationships. You need to know that the person that is talking to you is coming to you having prayed themselves, studied scripture themselves, and they have done their due diligence just before sharing with you. Now, the second thing we can take away from the Batterson quote is that sometimes we are the ones speaking truth into other people's lives. It's a scary thought, I know. Sometimes we are the voice God is using for them to hear him more clearly. And if that's the case, I come right back to what I just said about your friend. Make sure you have prayed, sought scriptural direction, looked in the mirror first at your own life, and done your own due diligence before speaking to them. Okay. What I just talked about would be considered solicited advice. So what do we do when we think God is speaking to us through someone we don't know? Someone we're not in relationship with. What does that look like? What do? Well, we listen carefully. We listen prayerfully. We listen through the lens of scripture, and we listen with a waiting heart. We don't rush into making rash decisions and changes without sharing what you think God may be saying to you through someone who you're not in deep relationship with someone that you are in deep relationship with. See, you don't live in a vacuum. Don't make those decisions by yourself. Even during quarantine, you can still reach out to people you do trust and share what you think you've heard and seek their feedback. If God is trying to talk to you, he will confirm it. He will make it evident through this great cloud of witnesses that you do have around you. Does that make sense? I mean, take what the person you are not in deep relationship with says back to the people you are in deep relationship with and get their feedback. Listen again to their voices, to their trusted voices. Make sense? Yeah. So what next? Well, I want you to do what we've been doing each week this sermon series. I want you to practice what we've just talked about. Practice listening to others. And in the sermon recap and the benediction at the end, I'll give you a very practical way you can do this. Okay? Practice purposefully listening to the voices that are around you this week. Maybe that's your parents. Maybe it's your siblings. Maybe it's your neighbors. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe, with this being Memorial Day weekend, you take time to remember what some of your trusted loved ones who have already gone home to be with Jesus shared with you while they were still living. Listen to what God may be saying to you through any one of these voices. And when you think that God may be saying something to you through someone else, share it. Share it with someone. Engage others and see if they hear the same thing for you. This sermon really hit home to me in a way I wasn't expecting this past week on Monday, even though I didn't write the sermon until Tuesday. If you have a cell phone, you most likely, and your cell phone number is on record in our directory, you most likely got a text from me. And I was just checking in with you. I sent and received texts for over 6 hours. And what happened? Through your collective text responses and the times I got to pray with and for you, I sensed God saying this. James, you've got a people to pastor. You have a people to pastor. Lead them well. Pastor them well. No one person wrote that back in a text, but I definitely heard it from your collective voices. And when I cross-referenced what I thought I was hearing in the pages of Scripture, that message was confirmed to me. Romans 12, verse 3, part of it says, if God has given you leadership ability, take that leadership responsibility seriously. And then 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, care for the flock God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly. Through your text exchanges with me on Monday, and some throughout the rest of the week, I was reminded that God does still speak through other people. Sometimes it is solicited counsel, and other times it comes from unexpected places and unexpected people. So how well are we listening for his voice through other voices around us? Let's practice that this week. And listen, if you hear something that you'd like to share, hop on the First Church Facebook page. Your risk in sharing may be a voice that someone else needs to hear as well. Let's pray. Father God, we've been praying all along in this series that you would speak for your children are listening. We continue to pray that same prayer. We want to listen to you. And if that is through the voices of other people, Lord, help us hear well. I pray you'd give us the insight, the discernment, and the ears to hear what you want us to hear this week. I pray you'd help us listen well. And I pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen.